The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Good morning, welcome, blessed Epiphany. This is the Ask the Pastor portion of the Bible Study on KFUO Radio. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm your host, Roland Lettner. Thank you for being with us this morning. We're here. We're going to launch you into your weekend. Looks like it'll be a good one. Just a quick note, because this does make a difference for some. Yeah. My good friend Buzz came running into the studio, said, you know, refresh the weather. It's not 53, it's 62 out there. As if I need to tell you that. It's a beautiful day outside. Joining us for the Ask the Pastor portion of the Bible study today is Pastor Dave Andrus. Pastor Andrus serves with Lutheran Blind Mission right here in St. Louis. How are you, my friend? Long time, haven't had a chance to talk with you.
Yeah, I'm doing very well and good to be with you.
Good. What's new with Lutheran Blind Mission these days?
Well, I'm in the middle of writing a whole bunch of PR pieces and a script for a grant for one of the LWML and for an audio Bible study, a digital audio Bible study. And that's our biggest, latest project. We're very excited about it.
What, are you focusing on any one particular book of the Bible, or are you going to do the whole thing at one time?
We're going to do the whole thing. We're using Today's Light, which is a production of Concordia Publishing House. It helps you walk through the Bible in a two-year period. And but we can't just take it and just put it and have it recorded, because there are too many visual things and examples of life, like cars and other items. So we're switching them out to canes and other things that are more relevant to blindness. But then we also have to take out where the Bible study has you, well, look at this verse and look at that verse, and it has you moving around an awful lot. And so we're simplifying it so that a person can listen to it'll be about a five-minute presentation, and then they can read, it'll be about three chapters a day, and they'll listen through a digital audio Bible that we're recommending. Well, actually, we got a grant to help underwrite some of the costs, most of the costs, for this digital audio Bible to people who are blind.
Well, not to pry, but I think it's a good question to ask, especially right after the Christmas season and in the economy we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how is Lutheran Blind Mission doing? Are you keeping up with your budget? Could you use some more help?
Oh, we could use more help. Gifts came in very nicely during Christmas, although usually right after Christmas they stop. And there's always more opportunities than there are funds. So it's a difficult time, as you know, and as everybody knows, in our economy, and we're absolutely dependent upon donations.
You know, in a politically correct world, I guess we're not supposed to notice if somebody is blind or not.
Well, and too often because of that, they get overlooked.
Yeah.
By sighted people who are supposed to see them.
You know,
that's a pun, you know.
Yeah, and what, you know, you've mentioned before, but I think maybe folks didn't quite catch that you're not just doing a Bible study. You are serving as a Bible translator as well.
It pretty much is, yes. The foundational material is there, but then it has to be set into the context of the culture of blindness. And then also the Bible references where there are so many to look at, we need to narrow it down so that they maybe just look to one. With a digital audio Bible, you can move around a little bit, but not just to find a verse here or there. It usually has to be a large section.
So, for example, what do you do with Epiphany, where a lot of the discussion is about the light coming into the world?
There we'd have to say, do you remember when you could see when walking into a room? But we also have to keep in mind those who have never seen. And so there we'd also put into the framework what light does, so that though you may never have seen, what is surprising for people when a light is turned on, that somebody might be standing in front of them. It would be like when you turn on a radio for the first time and hear the radio station come in clearly. You have to do audible or touchable connection points as well.
Do people from birth who are born blind, mm-hmm. well, it may sound like a silly question, but perhaps it's not, can they sense light?
No. Not light itself, but there are other byproducts of light that you can detect. There's heat, and then there's other aspects of light that when there's an absence of light, there's a coolness, a dampness, and it's not just coldness, so that when light is there, it actually not just warms the air, but it changes the feel of the air.
So, well, I guess that wasn't a silly question then.
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
Not at all. Light also helps plants to grow. It also can help a physical body. And literally, I have to talk to people who are blind about getting out in the light, because our human bodies need the quality of light.
Oh, yeah, vitamin D, yeah.
Exactly, vitamin D. And also, it also helps produce a hormone which helps regulate the sleep cycle.
Oh, yeah, serotonin, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You do feel better if you go out during lunch and spend an hour in the sunshine?
You do. In fact, I might do that when you said 62. It's like, wow, I think I'll go outside and eat lunch.
Well, you know, you may want to wait a little bit. It may hit 70.
Whoa!
You know, I'm not going to complain. You know, if this is the one time Al Gore's right, I have no issues. I really don't. Hey, you know, I also mentioned it's Epiphany, but it's also Orthodox Christmas, I guess, in many ways.
Indeed.
You know, Epiphany is in the place of our Christmas in the Orthodox Church. Mm-hmm. What is it about Orthodox Christians, especially those, you know, in places like Turkey and Bulgaria, that causes them to jump into deep, deep water that is icy cold?
Well, that's not the question I thought you were going to ask. I haven't a clue on that. I did a polar bear jump once, and then when I got out, I thought, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, apparently this is a tradition. This is from USA Today. It says, Orthodox worshippers dive into icy cold waters from Istanbul to Bulgaria on Friday, today, uh-huh. to retrieve crucifixes in ceremonies that commemorate the baptism of Jesus.
Huh. Baptism of Jesus.
Yeah. So what was the question you thought I was going to ask?
Gift-giving.
Oh, okay. We'll run with that for a moment.
Okay. Our tradition of Christmas and giving of gifts actually relates to the wise men bringing the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which we acknowledge is on Epiphany, because that's when we celebrate the wise men coming to Jesus. We know that we know from Matthew 2 with the wise men coming, it was not at the cradle or the manger that they came with the shepherds, as some of the Christmas cards show, but probably 2 years or at least a year after he was born. It talks in Matthew that he was in a house, and also Herod killed all the kids under age of 2. So we know that he was more than an infant, but less than 2 years of age. And that the 12 days of Christmas built upon the traditional Christmas day, within the coming of the wise men coming 12 days after Christmas. And so the gift giving is all wrapped into really the wise men and not Christmas.
Hmm. Now, I had not really kept up with the culture of the Orthodox, but I guess it kind of makes sort of the way some Christians focus on St. Nicholas Day in the West.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Maybe this is sort of that transliteration into the Eastern culture.
And many in the Eastern culture, this is when they do give gifts to one another, is on Epiphany, not on Christmas Day. And quite frankly, we have a tradition, my wife and I, that our kids abhor, and other people go, what? And when my wife and I, we were engaged when we were in college, and so we started talking about what life's going to be like, and I knew in college I was going on to be a pastor in the seminary and such, and so when we got married, we said, so what are we going to do this first Christmas? And I said, you know, maybe we should start thinking about what it's going to be like once I'm a pastor. You know, there's Advent services, Christmas Eve services, Christmas Day services. Maybe we shouldn't open our gifts until all the Christmas celebrations are over, which would mean Christmas afternoon. And so so that's when we actually open up our gifts, is Christmas afternoon.
Hmm.
Not Christmas morning, not Christmas Eve, but Christmas afternoon. That way we make sure we've contemplated, celebrated, thought about, sung about, heard about the giving of the Savior, for that's really the focus of Christmas.
It goes on in the USA Today story to say that this year's winner, a fellow named Apostolos Oikonomou, much to the chagrin of his Bulgarian brethren, is from Greece. He won this year. He managed to retrieve this cross that one of the Orthodox priests threw into this lake in Istanbul.
Uh-huh.
It says, it is believed that the person who retrieves the cross will be freed from evil spirits that might have troubled him.
Huh.
Little paganism in the church, I guess.
Absolutely. But, you know, it wouldn't be one hard step to remove that or change that to. And, you know, and what was his name again, his first name?
I'm not going to try that twice in one program.
Oh, okay. You know, when
Apostolos,
you were,
I'll leave it at that.
Apostolos, that's great. Yeah. That's great. You know, when you were baptized and the water was poured over you, you were drowned and you were released from all those evil spirits. And as we walk with Jesus, we are free.
Now, you see, in the liturgical sense, I think maybe we've lost the sense that a baptism is maybe like a lesser exorcism. What do you think?
That's an interesting thought, but it is very true and very relevant. For we can make much of baptism. Baptism, in fact, I'm going to be preaching this Sunday at Good Shepherd in Collinsville. There might be some listeners over there
listening
to our program. And the title of the sermon is Baptism is More Than Water. Much more than water.
It's cold water.
For Apostolos, it is, yes.
So, you'll be preaching at all services?
Yes, I will. Oh, Saturday night and Sunday.
Well, that's good. Our listeners would like to know that. They'd like to. They've heard you so many times across so many different programs, so I'm sure folks would like to come and meet you.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Well, I'll be there. Good Shepherd Collinsville.
And, you know, more entertaining in presence in real life than just on the radio.
Well, thank you.
Well, I've met you in person, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I got a black eye to show up.
Yeah, but I suffered the worst. we'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
You know what else Epiphany is known for, at least in Canada and some parts of the Western United States?
No, what's that?
Epiphany is the day that we celebrate the fruitcake toss.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Where everyone gathers together sort of communally, you bring your fruitcakes. If you don't have one, you can rent a fruitcake. and people in various ways, and they get very elaborate about this, take this poor, you know, baked good and just treat it just horribly. They launch it in all form and manner. Some catapult it, some fling it with slingshots.
Yeah,
they just abuse this poor. What is it about fruitcakes that is just so awful for people?
Well, I don't know. Actually, a tiny bit of history. The reason the fruitcake evolved was fruit was a very valuable commodity. We're talking 300 years ago. And they had no way to preserve fruit other than eating it when it was fresh off the trees. And until the fruitcake was developed. And that's why fruitcakes were given. It was actually a highly prized gift when it was first evolved. Because fruit was so valuable and rare. And yes, that would mean there was alcohol in it, because that would help preserve the fruit. But then over the years, as we were able to have fruit throughout the years, people kind of minimized the fruitcake and thought, why do we eat this thing? And I'm kind of among that latter group, actually.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste. I guess perhaps that some might find the more rum-soaked, the more tolerable.
Well, I must admit, I'm in that group.
505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Or if you should choose to, you can reach us by way of email at kfuo@kfuo.org. Okay. Now, our friend Apostolos the Greek, who dove into the cold water to retrieve the cross, sort of as an act of faith, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
We'll move from that to what maybe someone else considers to be an act of faith. This comes from the Christian Post. It's dated today. And the headline is, Minnesota Church Launches Service for Unsure Christians.
Huh.
Hmm. I don't know what you make of this. It says that the First United Methodist Church in some small town in Minnesota, it doesn't list the town, says they've come up with a new approach for reconnecting people with their faith. Okay?
Okay.
In the good old days, that was the job of the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to make it better. We're going to improve on it and be much more efficient. It says the church in, oh, here it is. It says in St. Cloud, Minnesota. I don't know where that is.
Oh, I do.
Is asking people who have sort of been diverted from their faith life to ascend a service, and this is the phrase they use. This is how they bill it.
Mm-hmm.
They're inviting them to attend a service that will be less preachy.
Mm.
See, maybe you should give up going to Good Shepherd in Collinsville to preach and just sit in the pew. And just let your presence radiate out amongst the family.
Interesting.
Yeah, it says starting this Saturday, this First United Methodist Church of St. Cloud, Minnesota, is going to offer congregants who aren't quite sure about church a service that consists mostly of music and meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question that I was reading this that I came up with, is that worship? Is that church? When you don't proclaim the word, when you don't get preachy, so to speak, have you had a worship service?
Well, it used the word meditation. It depends what meditation will include. If the word of God is proclaimed, then yeah, it could be worship. Proclaimed in that it's read, and the word meditation can mean it, a Bible verse is read, and consider what this might mean for you this next week, and to do 1 minute worth. That would come close enough, I think, to our understanding of worship and the Word of God being proclaimed. It probably would be that.
Hmm. It says further that they're going to combine inspirational readings, music, and meditation.
Yeah. If meditation just means time for you to think on what's read, then we're coming close to a Quaker type of thing. And then, I'm not the person to ask on that then. So I will say what jumped into my head. I don't know why. Whenever I'm on the radio with you, there's words that just jump out at me, and I quickly say what I think, and I probably shouldn't do that.
Makes for great radio.
I have two teenage girls who every once in a while will say, "Dad, will you quit being so preachy?" And this is in the house, not in church context. AKA, will you stop lecturing us? And I know a lot of people who stop going to church. That's their belief. Pastors up there, they just tell me what I have to do, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. They make demands on me, and they're lecturing me. Now, that's what this church is trying to reach, is people who feel they've gone away because of that. Well, then I tip my hat to them. But what do they say? Proof is in the pudding.
Yeah. But what happens when, if you manage to bring this group of people or a portion of this group of people back into church with, maybe it's unfair, but I'll call it lesser church.
Okay.
The less preachy church, the lesser church. What happens when you then have to bring them, tell them to put on their big boy pants and come to real church?
That's an interesting... There's another phrase out there that we've used in some circles that at least I've walked among, especially with mission starts. I sometimes am with mission execs as they're around the country, and they talk about seeker services, and some of the new mission starts that are started in all our districts are many times starting with seeker services, meaning people are seeking for something. And some of what this Methodist church has described fits a little bit what some Lutheran churches do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a dilemma that they do indicate that they do face down the road as people come, that then they get hungry and thirsty for more. And do you gladly move them on from milk to firmer spiritual food? But then what next do you do with those who are still seeking?
Hmm. Well, here's an interesting quote. We've got about 3-4 minutes before the break.
Okay.
For some reason, the Christian Post managed to dig up someone by the name of the Reverend Jonathan Gledhill, who is Bishop of Litchfield in London, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what his relevance is to the story, I'm not absolutely sure. But here is his quote, because they were also talking about part of the problem is people find church to be going far too long. And I guess the Methodist Church has some directive that, their pastor should keep their services to an hour, no more than.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this Reverend Bishop of Litchfield, Gledhill, says, clergy should aim to keep a time of worship to no more than 50 minutes. He explained that services today are too time-consuming in an offering of why church attendance is so low.
Mm.
Can you just not get this down to 15 minutes?
Interesting.
See, we don't have time for God. We are so busy. You know, this is why I like doing Ecclesiastes, as, you know, starting out the year in the Bible study here. You know, because you see, it's just pragmatic. You know, I do not have time, so just make church shorter.
It's a difficult dilemma. Our world is so time gobbled up with even TV shows and. And, well, ask the pastor in the Bible study. They're all 1 hour. We're built upon a time schedule, and we want to be on the move, always on the go. And that is a problem we face in our culture. Is we've put, and so which really, is it the chicken or the egg? Which came first? And it is a difficult thing, and can be a problem. Because then you can minimize your time with God to far too less than it should be.
Well, would you agree with the Reverend Bishop Gledhill that the church has come to a point in its history where it prays too much and it sings too much, and this is too much of a challenge for occasional worshipers?
No, not said just flat out like that. I would not agree with him.
Yeah, that's the quote from the story.
Interesting.
Well, I guess, what is the purpose of going to church?
Taking time with God, taking time with other people.
Yeah, but is there a prescription in Scripture for how much time?
No. In fact, when I was a parish pastor, I struggled with this, and that's why I hesitated and waffled, because I had heard people, including some of my elders, "Pastor, you're getting too long, and we got to keep it to about 1 hour." But the other thing I flipped on the flip side then said, you know, it's not just this 1 hour, but are you doing something every day, taking time with God in devotion? However that may form or shape itself, you need time with God every day.
Well, no, you better be careful, especially for what you ask God to do for you. Because there I was one day serving as a director of public works, and the next thing you know, I'm saying to God, gee, I wish I could spend more time in the Word. And now look where I am.
Indeed.
He does have a sense of humor.
He can, and he does.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. The mail server is up and running, empty, sadly to say, but you can reach us by way of email if you should choose to. The Reverend Dave Andrus from Lutheran Blind Mission is our guest for Ask the Pastor. You know, I guess I should ask, Pastor, is there anything that you bring to the table today, anything you've got on your mind before we get to the break here? We got about a half minute.
No, actually. I expected some discussion about Epiphany, and we did that at the outset, and that's all I really had as far as thoughts coming to the program today.
Wow. Well, just you wait for what you're going to get when we get back. You know, stories about the number of youths in the United States shrinking. Interesting what they omit from that story. Story about a brand new political party that's there to cater just to atheists.
Oh, my.
You know, Christian oppression. And then why we shouldn't be rationalizing the Bible.
Ah.
Lots of good stuff yet to come. Stay put, okay?
Very good.
All right, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Dave Andrus, our guest. The break is a great time to call in. We'll be right back after these few short messages.
One of the core values of Concordia Seminary is faithfulness. Faithfulness to the Bible and the confessions of our church. Many people in America no longer believe that there is absolute truth. They say, "You have your opinion, I have mine. All roads lead to heaven." But God has revealed truth. And we teach so that Concordia Seminary graduates will find winsome ways to present the truth.
Responding with Faith, a Women's Day of Renewal will be held Friday and Saturday, February 3rd and 4th at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville. The keynote, Faith 4-Hour Freakouts, features two St. Louis area speakers, Phyllis Wallace and Dr. Melanie Wilson. Women may attend Friday night only, Saturday only, or both. Registration forms and information is available at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 618-344-3151. Their website is goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
In Psalm 61, David the psalmist has written, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson. That's my goal for Jubilation every Sunday afternoon, to lead you to the rock that is higher than you are. Great music, prayer, Bible-based thoughts, humor, all blended together in a pleasing sort of way, I pray. That's Jubilation, Sundays from 1 to 4 p.m. right here on KFUO Radio.
You can provide for the people you love and the ministries you care about, including KFUO Radio, through a charitable estate plan. By establishing a charitable annuity, trust, or other planned giving instrument, you and your spouse may enjoy cash payments for life and at the same time leave a legacy gift for KFUO Radio. All you have to do is contact our gift planning specialist.
Call Joan Harwell at 800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524.
North Korea continues to be the worst country in the world to be a Christian, according to the New World Watch List released by Open Doors USA. It ranks North Korea as the world's worst persecutor of Christians for the 10th year in a row, followed by five Muslim nations, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, Somalia, Iran, and Maldives. The president of Open Doors USA, the Reverend Carl Muller, says,
"Number two and number three, Afghanistan and Saudi Arabia, are both ostensibly allies of the United States, and yet in Afghanistan, a place that we have shed American blood to liberate, they are, for all intents and purposes, an absolute despotic regime when it comes to Christian persecution."
Mueller says that shows that
religious freedom, unfortunately, is not a priority for the current administration, and for reasons that escape me, they are blind or naive to the realities that millions of Christians in the Middle East and other parts of the world face when it comes to some of the regimes that we support.
I'm Steve Coleman.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Back in 1969, Planned Parenthood was asked by the government to come up with ways to curb the population. So they produced the Jaff Memo, which now Planned Parenthood wants to keep secret. In part, the memo suggests the following ways to change society: it advocating avoiding marriage, establishing a marriage tax, and encouraging homosexuality. It also advised that women be encouraged to work outside the home. In the notorious memo, Planned Parenthood not only advocated for making abortion on demand available, but the government should also pay for abortion and contraception. In addition, family planning should be made a core element in health care. So how did Planned Parenthood do in affecting our society? Not only is this frightening, it's time to fight back.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Good morning. Welcome back, or welcome if you're just joining us for the first time today on the Bible study. This is the Ask the Pastor portion, the Epiphany edition of the Ask the Pastor portion of the Bible study here on KFUO Radio. Pastor Dave Andrus of Lutheran Blind Mission, our guest. I'm your host, Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us today. Getting you started into the conclusion of your work week and into your weekend. Well, Pastor Dave, I mentioned something about there's a new census report out that says the number of youths in the United States is shrinking. It is right now at the lowest point since the 1970s, and they identify youths as under 20s.
Okay.
You know, one survey has it as under 20, one survey has it as 18 and under, but the same generation here. And you go through the story, and it says the last time the population of that group dropped so low was back in the 1970s. Now think about why that date may be important. And then it goes on to say that they find the main problem to be that the United States, because of the economy, is no longer attracting young immigrants. Now, when I look at the headline of
ridiculous
number of U.S. This is from USA Today on Deadline is the segment.
Yeah.
Breaking news and must read stories. Census number of U.S. youths is shrinking. Well, when you see the data of the 1970s, and it's part of a story that says we have lost our youthful population, and the word abortion never appears anywhere in the story.
Ridiculous.
Do you think they are too stupid to know, or they're intentionally leaving something out?
That is odd, because even a group that would support abortion should acknowledge, because I believe the number is close to 1 million abortions a year, has to acknowledge the fact that that is affecting and impacting the generation to come. I'm just amazed that they didn't note that.
Well, you know, the statistics are horrifying, but when there's a diagnosis, and the technology has gotten so good at mm-hmm. you know, genetic identifiers for problems like blindness or Down syndrome, that 90% of pregnancies that are identified as being Down syndrome likely, not confirmed, but just indicating that they may be Down syndrome, 90% are aborted.
I didn't know that number.
You know, when you look around and you wonder where all the kids are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We have sacrificed our children on the bloody altar of me.
Yeah, we have. Absolutely. And that article obviously did miss a huge I got to say right away, I am against abortion. In fact, very strongly pro-life. Yet, set that aside, on a sociological level, you have to acknowledge when there are that many abortions in a year that it's going to impact your society, and that's why the workforce has shrunk and why your youth have shrunk. That's just a given that's just absolutely ignored for whatever reason.
Well, look at the tax crisis we're in right now, Medicare, Social Security, all these things that there are supposed to be more people behind us funding for the people who are supposed to be taking advantage of it now, mm-hmm. and they wonder why there's a shortfall.
Europe is finding that's one of their problems.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've had abortion far longer than the United States, and that is a huge problem, is the shrinking workforce in relationship to other aspects of life.
And in England, they've found that to replace that shrinking workforce, they've had to accommodate more and more immigration, and a lot of the immigration that's taken place has been from Islamic countries,
mm-hmm.
to the point now where London is sort of blithely referred to as Londonistan.
I've never heard that, but it's I've heard from people over there that who are Christian that they're very nervous. Only like these are off the top of my head from the conversation I had with this person, 10% of England is Christian and 37% are Muslim.
Yeah.
They're in the minority now.
Professor Tony Cook from here at Concordia Seminary,
yeah.
you know, over the summer took a trip to London, mm-hmm. or to Europe, and London was one of the stops, and we were talking about the riots that took place there.
Mm-hmm.
And during one of the breaks, he says, you know, it is easier today in London to find a curry than it is to find a fish and chip shop.
Huh. Wow.
So, you know, but we are so good, Pastor. We are so good at ignoring the actual consequences of our actions.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to abort ourselves into prosperity. We're going to abort ourselves into a better life. We'll have, you know what? We'll have no more blind people. We'll have no more handicapped people. We'll have no more stupid people. We'll have no more ugly people. We'll have no more annoying people. It'll be utopia.
And those thoughts lead back to the horrors of Nazi Germany. Because that's exactly what Adolf Hitler was trying to do, was create the perfect race. And there's just no way one can do that. By what criteria will you determine is a healthy or a fine person? Are we going to exclude redheads? How about people who are tall, short, a little heavier, a little lighter?
Yeah.
It runs into major problems. And then when you add those who quote-unquote are disabled, what quantifies disability? And that's usually determined by those who are in power because, well, you're not like me.
Yeah, and that's where this word that gets used so much today about things being offensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we bend ourselves sideways, backwards, forwards, in any other direction possible to not offend someone. That's one of those things the church is wrestling with today because,
sure,
you know, Christ is such an offense, the cross is such an offense to people that don't believe. Well, you know, maybe having Down syndrome children in our presence is offensive. We should not let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe we're offended by the fact that we have to have handicapped parking spots when I could be parking in the front row. All this offense that we have to endure because of all these lesser people that we are encumbered by.
Believe it or not, that is a dilemma and a problem in our churches. I was served on the task force that was present in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for about 3 years. And one of the things that we came to realize is a lot of people are uncomfortable with children who are a bit on the noisy side during worship.
Yeah.
And that can be caused by ADD, ADHD, Down syndrome, improper social comments, and you know, keep those kids quiet. Can't you keep them quiet? And why aren't you helping them behave? And they don't understand. It's not about them. It's about community, and these people are different, and they never stop to think about that.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Dave, we're going to go to the phones,
okay,
and we're going to start out with David. David, Dave to Dave, how you doing, my friend? Good morning.
Hello, Roland. It's me again. Make a comment on the abortion issue. You know, I'm going to go from a different angle, but when I was a kid, my dad had an eighth-grade education, and when he was younger and had to work, never went to high school, but he supported a family of five.
Hmm.
And the conspiracy theory of getting the woman out of the home, the selfish greed of more, 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 and we've dug ourselves into a hole where we've lost the family to where we want more things. And my dad even made the mistake of saying to my mom, well, if you want more things, then go to work. And she did. And it led to their downfall.
Mm.
But I don't know. On the abortion issue, when I read my Bible, I don't ever see in there about take contraceptives and limit the size of your family. It's like young people get married, and I know this firsthand. They don't want children because they look at them as being in the way of what they're wanting to do. And so we play God and limit the size of our family the way we want, and we look at children as being bothersome. And the thing about the church issue, going to church, I bet the same people who complain about sitting too long in a church building can watch football all day on Sunday. Yeah. Okay, that's all I had to say, Roman.
thank you, Dave.
Oh, that's not fair, Dave. That's just not fair. I'm an avid football fan, and yes, I'll be catching some of the playoff games this weekend, and ooh, that one hurt.
but he does make some good points.
Yes, he does.
Let's continue on, and let's talk with Lee. Lee, good morning. You're on with Pastor Andrews.
Good morning, and blessed Epiphany Day to you.
You also.
I had two questions, but then when the radio came back on, as I got on the phone, you were talking about children making noise in church.
Mm-hmm.
And in our church, we welcome that. And we
good.
Always say, no, our church is a welcoming church, and that's fine. And I always say, you know, Jesus said, let the little children come to me.
Yes.
And, you know, don't worry about, you know, them making a little noise, because that's what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
But my two questions were, I wonder how many churches do celebrate Epiphany service today. And my other question is about the length of service. I always say to our pastor as we leave, this is always, and I don't know if ours is exactly an hour. I don't even wear a watch. But I do see people sometimes in our church looking at their watches, and I say, oh, come on, you know, don't you have time, you know, for worship? Don't worry about 5 minutes or something, you know. But I always say to my pastor as we leave, this is always the shortest hour of my week, this worship, this Sunday worship. But I could go on longer from you, and I love music, but maybe it's my age. But anyway, that was my questions and my comment about children in church. We welcome them, and I just wondered, how many churches really celebrate a service of Epiphany today? Is that common, or is it going by the wayside too? Or
to my knowledge, it's going by the wayside. I don't know of any church that's celebrating Epiphany on, especially Epiphany Day.
Well, we are, and in fact, I'm preparing.
Yay.
We're having soup supper at 6, and I'm prepared. I'm right in my kitchen stove right now, preparing a soup for 6 o'clock soup supper, and then we're having service at 7, and it's including a lot of our youth. Mm-hmm. With readings and part of the service.
Well, plug your congregation. Some folks may want to join you.
Huh?
Which congregation is it? Plug your congregation. Some folks may want to join your service tonight.
Well, it isn't one of your...
Well, okay.
That's fine. That's fine.
It's,
which is it?
St. Thomas Holy Spirit Lutheran Church in Sunset Hills on South Lindbergh.
Oh, sure. I'm familiar with that church. We used to live only half a mile from it.
And what is your name?
Pastor Dave Andrus.
Andrus, okay.
Right.
And where
yeah.
were you pastor?
Well, I was pastor at Our Redeemer in Overland for 13 years, but now for the last 13 years I've been part of a Lutheran Blind Mission, which is a national program.
Okay.
And we had a house in Sunset Hill so I could be 1 mile away from the International Center where my office was.
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know several people that work there, yes.
Very good, yeah.
Well, Lee, thanks for the call. We appreciate hearing from you today.
Okay, so you think that's going by the wayside, the service on Epiphany?
In many churches and denominations, yes. Epiphany and Ascension Day, you're seeing less and less of those special services.
Well, that's a shame.
It is. Yeah. And by the way, Lee, I don't think it's your age that is the your comment about being the shortest hour of the week. I think it's your faith. And this is something that I've noticed with people when I served in the parish and even now, is the stronger your faith gets, the more you love the Lord and the more you want to spend time with Him.
That is so true. You know, I'll tell you, Pastor, I tease my good friend Mark Hawkinson, Pastor Hawkinson.
Uh-huh.
He was a guest pastor at Ascension, which is my congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Saturday evening service. And, you know, Mark loves to sing hymns, and he loves to preach. And the service was Saturday night, and that's, you know, it was getting to be 5:45, 5:50.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell people, you know, we're at that point of the service where communion is just starting, and now it's 6, and now it's 6:05, and then it's 6:10, and Mark is up there. And then finally, we get to the point where we're going to close with the hymn, the very last thing that we do. We've had the benediction. We're going to depart with, you know, God's words on our lips.
Right.
And in the bulletin, it says only verse number 1 would be sung as the closing hymn.
Uh-huh.
And Mark stands up in front of the congregation and says, "This is such a wonderful hymn. Let's sing all 7 stanzas."
All 7.
And the congregation, there was this audible, oh.
Pastors have a tough time with this because they love the Lord and they love to spend time with Him. And there's some people who just aren't as strong in the faith. And oh, boy.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's see. We've got Jan, and then we've got Larry. Jan, you're up next. Go ahead. You're on with Pastor Andrus.
Hi, Jan.
Hey, Pastor. And Roland. You know, you were talking about a Briton who said that you could get curried food more readily than fish and chips.
Yeah.
And that made me think about the contrast between cultural differences and unity in Christ. We want to give our kids what we didn't have, but I think we've fallen short in giving them what we had. Which is, you know, a legacy, a heritage. I don't know what goes on in the average Lutheran's home, but say, for instance, you have German ancestry. How many people speak German to their children?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you shoo them out of the kitchen when you're making Kuchen?
So, well, as a matter of fact, yes.
Yeah, because, you know, I, Roland, you and I have talked about this before. I work in construction. I had a contractor in the office earlier, and I was talking about, you know, code compliance is a process sometimes, and I can't just let you do what you want to do because you want to do it. And so you got to bring people alongside, and it is lengthy. So what are your thoughts on what I've just said? And I just had a conversation with my youngest son, who was recently confirmed. Yay!
Very good. Congrats.
But he attends public school, and he said to me this morning, maybe the Calvinists were right a little bit. And I looked at him. I said, no, sweetie, what do you mean? And he was talking about with respect to election. And I said, okay, I read in a paper that this man killed his wife. Now, just because I know that, does that mean that I did that? God knows all things.
Mm-hmm.
But he allows us to choose to reject him. And we cannot say that God has elected certain people to perish. Mm-hmm. In fact, Scripture says that God is slow waiting on us to get the word out. So that's what's going on in my world. Y'all have a great weekend.
You also, Jan.
Tiffany Day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jan.
We'll talk again next week, I'm sure. Any thoughts, Pastor?
Having two teenage kids, it's a challenge. How much do you incorporate and how much do you do with them? And then they roll their eyes and they say, stop being so preachy, Dad. And I'm finding, and this is what my wife and I have done, and I don't know if it's right or wrong, ahead of time we say, what do we really feel that the girls should do and should have? And there's just no options there. We go to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
We pray to God. We have family devotions. And at first, you know, when I grab the devotional book from the side table and set it on the table and say, who's going to read? They go, Well, last night, it was the night before. It was just sitting there from the night before. Tori just picked it up. I didn't even hand it to her. She just picked it up and started reading. So it really, some things have to be just determined by parents to say, you know, this is just what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And you do it.
Yeah, I had a conversation one time. At one point, there was a Christian Citizenship Award that was given out at Ascension. And, you know, one fellow was complaining that his son would never qualify for it. Because, you know, on Sunday mornings, they can't stick around for Sunday school because he's got baseball practice, and then in the fall he's got soccer practice and so on. And maybe I could have put it in a more gentle way, but I said, well, I guess that's just your priority then.
Mm-hmm.
But my kids are always in Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
That's just our priority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It that's a tough, tough thing. And that is one way, I suppose, really what you... It is a matter of priority, Roland, what is important.
Yeah.
And for those parents who say, but this is important for my kids, I say, great. And do you do things during the week with them then?
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
Give them that option so that there are more opportunities for them. Because that's something, as I said earlier, we need to be doing every day.
Let's go back to the phones real quick before we have to let you go, Pastor Andrus. Larry, okay. Thanks for calling. Happy Epiphany. Blessed
you
Epiphany, also, I get that's better.
You also, Roland and Pastor Andres. I always start with the looking at when Christ, you know, talking about worship and a requirement. I don't know that so much he puts a requirement on it, but you know, he says in Hebrews, not forsaking the assembly as a manner of some. But you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, that's what I like to look at. Mm-hmm. When Christ was praying, he said to the disciples who were falling asleep, can't you give me 1 hour? Mm. 1 hour. You know, to me, that's the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. But if you look at it, if you look in Scripture with the verse pastor where it says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. The word search in the translation into the Greek is to ransack the Scriptures. I don't think we have enough ransackers. And, you know, when you board a plane, don't you want the pilot to know everything about every control? Because that's your safety. Well, that's our safety is in Scripture. If you stay in the Word, you're going to be safe from everything, right, Pastor?
Absolutely. And you're making a valid point, Larry. 1 hour. The example I've sometimes used with my daughters is, come on, you watch that show, it's 1 hour. And actually, you watch more, even like the other call said, you watch football for a couple hours. And this is what will keep you safe. You said something else I was going to comment on.
The pilot?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
About the pilot?
No.
Knowing everything?
No, it wasn't that. What came to my mind, my thought was, is the thing that we can do in worship is create some variety so that even a TV show has commercial breaks, and it doesn't force your attention to be 100% for 60 minutes, but there's some change. And I think we can do that in a worship service with not only songs, prayers, but also, oh, that was it, in ransacking. In the way we come at the Word of God. And I have at times done variations in worship services, especially when I was a pastor, where I wouldn't have a 15 or 20-minute sermon, but I'd break them into three or four little spots and take one little aspect of each different part of that reading and pick up on that. So there'd be some variety. I think people were able to take more away that way.
Right. You know, a pastor, in my opinion, a pastor, if he can't teach, he shouldn't be a pastor. You have to be able to teach. And I think where the rubber meets the road is in Bible class. You're not going to understand a lot of things possibly in a sermon if you don't get the meat of the Bible class. And the Bible classes are probably not as well attended as they should be. And by the way, Roland?
Yeah.
Epiphany service tonight, Hanley Road, St. James Lutheran Church. Everyone's invited at 7:30.
There you go.
Hey,
Larry, we got to
run.
Thanks for the call, Larry. Blessed Epiphany to you as well. Hey, Pastor Andrus, it's time for us to let you go. But before we do, why don't you again tell us real quick about how we can help out Lutheran Blind Mission. I'll give you half a minute.
Lutheran Blind Mission serves people who are blind and visually impaired, and we do so by the help of volunteers as well as through the donations of people. You can contact us through our website at blindmission.org, or the local phone number is 314-918-0415.
Thank you, my friend. So good to spend some time with you. Thanks.
And you, Roland. Thank you.
Take care.
Listen Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study Archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.